Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Hadith number 238. Yes, brother.
Abdullah ibn Hunayn radiallahu anhu narrated that there cropped up a difference of opinion between Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and Al-Miswar bin Makhrama at a place called Abwa. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu contended that a muhrim was permitted to wash his head, whereas Miswar contended that a muhrim is not permitted to wash his head. So Ibn Abbas sent me to Abu Ayyub al-Ansari to ask him about it. So I went to him and found him taking a bath behind two bowls covered by a cloth. I gave him salutation. Whereupon he asked, "Who is this?" I said, "I'm Abdullah ibn Hunayn. Abdullah ibn Abbas has sent me to you to find out how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his head in the state of ihram." Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu placed his hand on the cloth and lowered it a little till his head became visible to me. And he said to the man who was pouring water upon him to pour water. He poured water on his head. He then moved his head with the help of his hands and moved them, the hands forward and backwards, and then said, "This is how I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing." In another narration, Al-Miswar said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, "I will never dispute or argue with you again."
Very well. Now this hadith is regarding the things or some of the things that a muhrim can do. And we discussed this before. Is it permissible for a muhrim to change his ihram? Yes, it is. Is it permissible for a muhrim to take a bath, to shower, to clean himself? And the answer is yes. The issue of Al-Miswar ibn Makhrama saying that, no, this is not permissible because he thought, may Allah be pleased with him, that this goes against the Sunnah. However, Ibn Abbas, who was more knowledgeable and who was closer to the Prophet والسلام, said that it is permissible. And both of them sent this tabi'i, who is not a companion, may Allah have mercy on his soul, they sent him to Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the great companion of the Prophet. And he asked him whether the Prophet والسلام, washed his head or not. Not only that, he told him, how did the Prophet wash his head? And immediately he was taking a bath, covering himself with a screen. He lowered the screen and he asked one of his companions who was pouring the water to pour it on his head. And he moved his head and he got washing his head from the front and from the back as well. Why would anyone think that it is not permissible to shower or to take a bath? Some scholars said that because if you do this, you will cause hair to fall. And that is why you find a lot of schools of thought say that it is not permissible for a pilgrim to comb his hair, to brush his hair. Why? They say by doing this, hair would fall. Maybe 3, 4, 5, 7, 10, Allahu A'lam, depending on the hair on his head or in his beard. And they say this is not permissible. And this is incorrect. The Prophet ﷺ never told us not to comb our hair. We're instructed in the Quran not to shave, not to cut. But combing your hair is permissible. And if hair falls because of combing your hair, this is no problem. It's like when you're making wudu and you wipe over your head. If 5 or 6 hair fall because of wiping your head, do we say that you don't make wudu? No. What is intended was to make wudu or to wash your head or to comb your head, and this is permissible. If you intended to remove the hair, now this becomes forbidden and it is not recommended. Also from this hadith, we learn how the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, used to try to know the truth. And once they know it, they stick to it. And this is why Al-Maswar, he said, "I will never argue with you again. Ibn Abbas, you are more knowledgeable. From now on, if you say something, I will believe it and I will embrace it." And this shows you the humility of the companions, that they were not arrogant. Nowadays, if this incident took place, we would probably go and say, Abu Ayyub was an old man. He doesn't know anymore. And if 5 or 10 scholars said, no, someone bought them. Someone gave them a bribe. This one is too young and this one is too old. The companions were not arrogant. If the hadith is authentic, the Prophet did it, alayhi salam, this is the end of the story and no need to argue about it. Moving on to hadith 239. This hadith was narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah. May Allah be pleased with him and with his father. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions assumed ihram for Hajj, and none except the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Talha had the hadi, the sacrifice, with them. Ali was in Yemen. He arrived from Yemen and said, I have assumed ihram as the Prophet had done so sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet ordered his companions to perform the umrah with the ihram which they had assumed, and after finishing tawaf and going between the Safa and the Marwa, he ordered them to cut short their hair and to finish their ihram, meaning finishing the ihram, meaning becoming halal. And this is a bit confusing. What do we call a person in the state of ihram? Muhrim. What do we call a person who is not in the state of ihram? Halal. We call him halal, which is in Arabic also equivalent to permissible. But of course, we're not talking about permissible, meaning that he is in the state of halal. He can do anything that is restricted for a muhrim. So the Prophet ﷺ instructed them to become halal, except those who had hadi with them, those who had brought their sacrifice with them. The companions said, how can we proceed to Mina for Hajj after having sexual relations with our wives? Now we're spending 7 days in Mecca. You're telling us not to be in the state of ihram because we did our umrah and we have our wives. And you're telling us to become halal, to do everything that a muhrim cannot do, such as clipping the nails, perfuming, and having intimacy. How can we go to Mina like this? They thought that this is not like the Hajj they knew. And the Prophet ﷺ is teaching them the proper Hajj, not the Hajj that they used to do at the pre-Islamic era. So when they said this to the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, if I had formerly known what I came to know lately, I would not have brought the hadi with me. Had there been no hadi with me, I would have finished the state of ihram. I would have done exactly as you are doing at the moment. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, got her menses. So she performed all the ceremonies of Hajj except tawaf of the Kaaba. And when she got clean from her menses, she performed tawaf of the Kaaba. She said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of you are returning with the Hajj and Umrah, but I am returning after performing Hajj only. So the Prophet ordered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr to accompany her to At-Tan'im, and thus she performed the Umrah after Hajj. Long hadith, the same story. The Prophet was in the state of Qiran. He instructed those who did not have hadi to make umrah and then to become halal. And on the 8th, to perform ihram again and make and continue their hajj. Now, they objected to the fact that how can they have a period of being halal, having intercourse, clipping their nails, perfuming, wearing shirts and waist wrappers? How is this possible? The Prophet told him, had I not brought my hadi, I would have done exactly the same. I didn't know at the time, but then Allah informed me. So now, in a sense, I have to continue until I slaughter. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she went out with the intention of Umrah. But when she had her menses, this meant that she cannot make her Umrah. So what to do? Scholars say that if a person did not start his tawaf for Umrah, he has the ability to cancel his umrah and change it into qiran. Now, I am going with the intention of umrah and to stay a couple of weeks and then offer hajj. On my way, I said, why should I do this? Or I had something of an importance to do. And time was so limited for me. I was supposed to have a few days, but I came at the 8th of the Hijjah. How can I make Umrah and then offer Hajj again? So scholars say it is permissible to make your Umrah, which you came initially with the intention of it, and change it into an upper thing, which is Qiran. So now, instead of Umrah, you're doing Qiran. Likewise, they say if someone intended to do Qiran, so I come out of my house, I travel, saying Labbaik Allahumma Umratan wa Hajj. But before I reach Mecca or before I start, I say that I have 4 or 5 days ahead of me. Why should I stay in the state of Ihram? I don't have my sacrifice with me. They say that you can cancel your Quran and make it Umrah, stay 3 or 4 days and then make Hajj. This is a higher level. Likewise, a person coming with the intention of Ifrad. I'm coming for the Hajj of Ifrad. I come before I start, there are a few days. Then I split it into Umrah. And after that, my Ifrad, I change it into Tamattu'. And this is what the Prophet instructed his companions to do. So all of these are permissible. What is not permissible is to change from, for example, from Qiran to Ifrad. No, this is not permissible. Or a person would like to cancel it altogether. This is not permissible. Once you committed yourself, once you made Ihram, you cannot cancel it at all. You have to continue with it. Do you have any questions? Yes, brother.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed 63 camels.
100.
63 himself?
Yes.
And gave to Ali 37.
Yes.
Is there any meaning of 63?
Some said that this is relevant to his age.
Age.
Some say, but we cannot say. This is what he did, alayhi salam, and then he felt tired and gave it to Ali, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have until we meet next time. في أمان الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.